Live. Michael Angley live, July 22nd, 2017. Oh, wow, we've got a lot to talk about. And you know what? From the beginning, we didn't like Jeff Sessions. When I say we, I mean the royal we, which means me, you know. But we didn't like Jeff Sessions. Now, a lot of people didn't like Jeff Sessions. And my problems with and I had multiple problems with Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, is that he's just too... he's too much of a weasel. That's my number one problem, you know. And then the fact that he recused himself from all these investigations that are integral investigations, important. You know, we're talking about integrity here. You were talking about the presidential integrity. You were talking about the morale of the country. You were talking about a lot, especially if you're talking about a Hillary Clinton. He can't recuse himself from something like that. You need your attorney general to get in there. How about Russian investigation? You can't recuse yourself from something like that. That's like taking the job and leaving the job, unless you are directly related. And the only stuff that they thought that they had on Jeff Sessions is his conversation with some ambassador. Basically, they are looking, and I mean they, the left, the Democrats, are looking for anything they can to hang up Donald Trump. And that's really what it is, you know? And you know what? If the guy's dirty, by all means, put the screws to him, man. I'm an investigator. I got integrity. You know what I mean? I'm not on anybody's side who's doing something wrong. You know, there's no point in being on someone's side who's doing something wrong. They drag you down too. But Jeff Sessions was never a good choice for Attorney General. Too many problems in the past. Too much racist talk. He was denied a federal judgeship because of racial comments. And whatever, you know, it's not the guy that we need. And I don't think that he was even capable or is capable. He hasn't resigned yet, right? But I don't think that he's capable of really representing the entire United States of America. And there's a lot of it, you know, and there's a lot of different cultures, attitudes, everything that may not fit into Jeff Sessions' little tiny bubble of a world. But he recused himself, which called on a special prosecutor. You know, Trump goes and fires FBI Director James Comey. Comey comes out with his little memos. He himself leaked them to the press, which he, you know, committed several felonies by doing that. And then I guess he didn't think that he was going to be called out on that. I think that he was, maybe he thought he was above the law or something. I don't know. But anyway, that called for a special prosecutor. They got Robert Mueller, who was a friend of James Comey, who worked with James Comey, who is a big Democratic sympathizer. And now this dude has, and they gave him a blanket warrant so he can go all over the place and do all kinds of stuff and investigate all kinds of stuff. He was supposed to come and investigate the Russian connection if the Russians meddled in the election, period, end of sentence. You know, the whole email thing, you know, about Hillary's emails getting hacked, so-called, by the Russians. Instead, this dude is looking into Trump's finances, people's backgrounds around him, and they're trying to hang him up with another guy who worked with Trump during during his run, and then saying, well, you know, he bought three apartments in the city for cash and then took out mortgages, and they must be laundering money. That's what people do when they launder money. But yet, you know, no one accused the guy of laundering money. And then now the guy's name, his reputation, all that is being dragged through the media, dragged through the news. He's all out there, right? So this is what Robert Mueller did for him. They want this dude to trade, you know, if anything, if he did launder money, they want him to make a deal with him so he'll turn on Trump and then say something about Trump. Basically, these guys are looking for anybody to come forward saying that Donald Trump was in bed with the Russians. I think you could just be some person from the street and walk into Robert Mueller and say, I have information on Donald Trump. You know, he did it. And they would take that as factual. They wouldn't look into it, and they'd put you on the stand. This is how serious this is. So what you need to do is, if you're going to investigate the whole Russian thing, you need to hire an independent prosecutor, independent of DC, independent of the FBI, independent of all these agencies, somebody who has no political belief, basically, you know, somebody who has no political agenda anyway. Like me personally, you know, I'm middle of the road. If you guys listen to my show on a regular basis, and I know a lot of you do, you know where my head is at, and you know that when I say something, it just comes from a very real point of view. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I paint myself as a progressive, as a matter of fact, but a real progressive, not one of those namby-pamby ones. I want real progress in the world, you know. But that's the reality of that. And then that's the kind of person that you want, somebody who is not going to be motivated by a political belief. Oh, I'm a Democrat and I have to bring down the Republican Party. Oh, I'm a Republican and I have to bring down the Democrats. And, you know, all this infighting and all this back and forth stuff just leads us to a complete zero. It wastes our time, it wastes our money. We have a lot of stuff to do, and now we're just kind of stuck in the mud with all this nonsense. And it's goddamn three-ring circus. And every day you wake up, you look at the damn news and it's like, oh my God, look what's going on now. And, you know, kind of lunacy. At this point, I would believe anything about anything about anything. You could tell me that Hillary Clinton had a penis, I'd believe it. You could tell me anything, I'd believe it, because this is how weird things are in our world, how surreal. And I think that, you know, there are no rules anymore for a lot of these people. I think that they have all gone past that. You know, the liberals who used to say, we love people, love peace, harmony. You know, now they want blood. They want to kill. They want to cut people's heads off. They want to hit cops in the head with rocks. They want to shoot people. They want to burn their houses down, burn their cars. What kind of liberal is that? That's not the liberals that I know. You know what I mean? Whatever happened to that peace, love, and harmony? You know, so this is the deal. People have just lost track of what the hell road that they're on and path that they're on. You have been divided. You have been used. You have been bamboozled by a bunch of billionaires and millionaires, and they're all laughing. They're getting richer while you're suffering with your anger and your depression. You can't sleep at night, and you feel like dirt. You're fighting with your friends and neighbors and your family, the whole bit, all for what? And this describes a lot of people out there who are really divided. It describes a lot of people out there. And you know what? With me, it didn't really affect me, you know, because, like, I didn't take any sides, man. You know, I support Trump as president because I think that he can do a good job if he's allowed to do the good job that he can do. But I also think that he's a pig. Yeah, I get that, you know. But I think that Obama was a nightmare. I think that, you know, we can go back in time with presidents and what I think about them, you know. But it comes down, can you do the job or can you do the job? You know, I mean, a lot of people say they can do the job. They can't do the job. Obama went in there and did eight years of misery. 8 years of destruction, you know, I mean, like, really dismantling our Constitution. 8 years of playing lawyer ball. 8 years of going around and browbeating people or embarrassing people and putting people down. You know, Barack Obama has such disdain for the United States of America. And you think, with someone that hates this country that much, how could he even become president? And then there he is, like, telling people that, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself for being Americans, and we have to give everything we have to the rest of the world. And then what does that do? It just depletes your resources and you have nothing. You're not helping somebody at that rate. You're damaging yourself, and then you're actually helping, you know, hurting people around the world, not helping them. You know, so we got rid of him. He's gone. His term is up. He's history. Now you got Trump in there, and he's embattled by everybody and anybody. And he's kind of an island, man. You know, he's an island unto himself. He has to be able to maintain. And I don't know how far that's going to go. I know people can only take so much mentally and physically. You know, your mental stress affects you physically. And then a lot of people are emotional eaters, for instance. A lot of people turn to drugs or alcohol or whatever to offload that kind of stress. You know, this dude is embattled. And then even think about it. You know what? Do you think that his wife is down with this? Do you think that she wants no part of this stuff? She had a really good life. Billionaire woman's life. They're floating around the world, can do anything, go anywhere, with a great deal of anonymity. Not anymore. Now she's in the main boulevard, man. She's a parade float, as a matter of fact. And everybody's looking, everybody's saying something, everybody's saying terrible things. I mean, terrible things. You know, even taking her modeling pictures from the past, there was a lot of them were nude, you know, and putting them out there and saying such horrible, disgusting things. You know, I know that people are better than that. I know that the liberals who are doing this, you're acting out of anger because somebody else has fanned your flames. But that other person that fanned your flames, they're not going to help you at the end of the day when you have a nervous or mental breakdown. Or they're not going to help you if you, God forbid, attack someone violently. And there's people that will defend themselves vigorously out there. You know, you can't do stuff like that because you're damaging yourself. You're damaging somebody else. You're damaging our society. And I think that there needs to be a call for calm, which is saying it hasn't happened. You know, has Hillary Clinton come forward? No, she's come forward and she heats up the pot even more. Resist, resist, take him down. This is the same woman that said she would abide by the results if Trump won. He won. She didn't. She's a liar, a cheater, and a thief, and she always was. And now she's manipulating people. She's using people. She's hurting people to get what she wants. And now she's even more unpopular than ever because it's not working. When she comes out and says all these things, people see right through it, and it's not working. So good. And Barack Obama, same thing. What about him hanging out with all the billionaires? What about him on the private islands and on the yachts for weeks at a time, you know, and then taking millions upon millions of dollars for the Barack Obama, or actually it's called the Obama Foundation because his wife is on it too, and it's their office together, you know what I mean, Barack and Michelle, so they're joined at the hip, they're like Siamese twins. This is the deal. He is a business. He's running a business. He was a corporate spokesman to begin with. He did a terrible job of it, and he ran this country into the ground purposely, and now he made his. And then the Democrats say nothing about it. They don't look at him at all and say, hey, what he's doing is horrible. You know, look who he's hanging out with. We're not about this. We're about the working people, the working class. It's about people living a better life and having more rights. Ah, is it? Or is it about pushing the billionaire's message, pushing the millionaire's message? Is it about the slave drivers? Is it about the robber barons and what they want, right? And have people at each other's throats so you can't focus on everything else that's going on in the world, you know? So unfortunately, this is where we are. This is where we are. And I think that it's a bad place to be because in this kind of chaos, anything can happen. You know, and I'm into chaos theory, you know. I mean, when you set things in motion, anything can happen, and there's no rules anymore. When you see hippies picking up guns and knives, then the world is over. You know what I mean? Because there was supposed to be the gentle, loving, here's a flower for a smile type of people. And then that's what it was supposed to be. That's what it was. Now it's bloodthirst. Bloodthirst, you know what I mean? Like bloodthirst. And humans have that deep hidden in their DNA. It's in our nature to be like that sometimes, to be that kind of savage, to love that savage to come out. But it's a better part of us that keeps it from coming out, you know, keeps us from doing that, makes us evolve beyond that, you know? And then that's the kind of bloodlust that humans just don't need. But we see it all the time. And then you'd think that we made all these strides, you know, as humanity, you know, just because we have toilet paper doesn't mean that we're civilized, right? And then we think that we have, you know, all this technology and whatever. The technology is being used to make people more angry. You know what I mean? If people weren't on the internet and they weren't so in touch and they were just in their little village doing their thing, a little town, they wouldn't hear as much as this stuff. So I think that it's blatant in your face. And the bias in the media is crystal clear. They couldn't make it more crystal clear. People don't trust the media. They don't trust their politicians. And you know, it's like riding in a bus and your bus drivers on you know, 15 different kinds of drugs. They're completely out of control, you know, screaming out every kind of curse word at you. And you know that you're going to die. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of how it is. And we need to take control of our country. And we need to take control of our future and our children's future. You can't leave that alone. You can't leave that to the side because there's too much at stake. And the people like Maxine Waters, you know, Maxine Waters, she's a congresswoman, right, from California. Maxine Waters, very outspoken against Trump, 78 years old, plays the race card. She's black. She plays the race card all the time. She lives in a $4.7 million house in a really nice neighborhood. The rest of her district, there's nothing but murder, crime. It's terrible, right? She talks about it all the time. They call her a poverty pimp, as a matter of fact. She talks about it all the time, right? So Maxine Waters, 3 years ago, was voted by an independent group that looks at politicians and corruption. She was voted the most corrupt politician in the United States of America because she arranged a bailout for her husband's bank it's bank that she also owns, you know what I mean? He has the shares and whatever. She benefits. So they got millions and millions and millions of dollars because of that, because they ran the thing into the ground, and then she did that. So because of that and a whole bunch of other things, and she was also, she had ethics violations against her. She was in court for a long time. This woman, who is so dirty, has come forward, and she's like leading the charge against Trump, and we're going to impeach him for something. And we're, she was saying that they should impeach Donald Trump Jr., and he wasn't even elected to anything. That's how crazy people are. She is 78 years old. Now she's going to New Hampshire to throw her hat in the ring to run for president in 2020. Now, if the DNC thinks that they're going to fix what needs to be fixed and fix what's broken in their party by putting Maxine Waters forward, they are out of their minds. And then if you talk about a Robert Mueller doing investigations, he's got to look into the DNC. He's got to look into Hillary Clinton. He's, if you want to talk about Russians, there's all kinds of collusion going on between Hillary and Russia, all kinds of collusion between the DNC and Russia. And how about who killed Seth Rich? So instead of spending his time on important things like that, he's looking into finances and he's looking for something, dirty, dirty business dealings. And he's at liberty to report on anything he finds because he has a blanket warrant. The warrant didn't just say for the Russian investigation. And even that is kind of cryptic. You know, you have to really specifically spell things out so people's rights don't get violated. And when you, you know, if there's a judge who writes a warrant, that warrant needs to be specific and what these guys can do and can't do. You know what I mean? So it's like that, you know, and we're struggling through all of this. And it's almost comical and funny. If I didn't live in the country, I'd be laughing my ass off. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, I can't laugh because I see all of this going on. And then I know that it's unproductive. You know what I mean? And speaking of unproductive, you know, we have the most unproductive Congress in 196 years. Now, Mitch McConnell is the guy in the parking lot at the mall who looks scared and confused because he can't find his car. That's Mitch McConnell. That's always been Mitch McConnell. He has never done anything. He has never solved anything. He is not a leader. But when they put him, made him a leader, I was like, what are you, nuts? And man, was he happy, but he was smiling when they announced that whole thing. You know, I remember, man, what has he done? Has he helped the GOP push anything through? You have a completely GOP-controlled Congress and then a GOP president, and they can't get anything done. That's a freaking, they're laughing stocks. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I don't have a word for it. I don't have a word for what the hell that is. You know what that is? That is just so Republican. You know what I mean? I'll leave it like that. You have all these guys who are bitched and complained about Obamacare, we're going to repeal. They promised to their voters, every last one of them, everyone has promised their voters they would repeal Obamacare. Everyone. Not one of them didn't say it. Now they have a chance to do it. They're not going to do it. They can't do it because they got votes short and whatever. They can't figure it out, you know, and they can't go across the Democrats. And then because the Democrats don't want to work with them at all. They threw up a wall. The Democrats said the wall is bad. They built their own wall. And then they said that they have no interest in working with the Republicans. So what does that mean? That means you have a whole bunch of elected representatives that we pay a lot of money. They have perfect insurance. They have a job. You know what? They get half pay when they leave, you know, for the big muckety mucks. So think about that. Nancy Pelosi's and Chuck Schumer's, they leave office, they're going to still get a little bit more than half of their pay for the rest of their lives, plus that insurance, plus all kinds of perks. We don't have that. We've got nothing. You know what I mean? We have whatever we have, and they're trying to take that from us. So these people are not living in reality. They are not living, I mean, they don't have the same health care we have. Some people have no health care. And then look at John McCain, right? They announced he has a brain tumor, a brain cancer, right? So they did surgery on him, bang. They tested cancer. And then he's like, well, I'm going to fight it and whatever. And that's great. And more power to him. You know, I'd never wish cancer on anyone, of course. But this dude has gone out there and then just kind of chastised everybody about the health care thing. But he has not come up with any solutions, but he himself is covered, isn't he, for his brain cancer. And when I was watching Fox and they were discussing, they discussed no less than 20 different high-dollar procedures that they're going to do on this guy to save his 80-year-old life. High-dollar procedures. And I'm thinking, damn, you know, I couldn't even afford, like, a piece of that. You know what I mean? With some crappy health care. You know, this guy's got the best health care. He's got the best of the best, and they're going to do everything they can to save him. But what about us? What about people? What about people who are suffering? People are in pain, and they can't get out of pain because they can't afford it, you know, because they have no health care. And now these guys are just kind of walking around with their thumbs up their asses, not even understanding what people have, you know, what people are doing, how people live, how you live your life. How, what does a gallon of milk cost? Oh, I don't know. What does a loaf of bread cost? Those are my two favorite questions when I go and chase down these local politicians around here. You know, and whenever someone's talking at Cornell, I like to get up there. You know, I have a question in two parts. what does a loaf of bread cost? What does a gallon of milk? And when they stumble and they can't answer, and it's always like that, I say, if you don't know, then you don't know how people are living. And it's that simple. And if you don't know how people are living, you cannot represent people, period. But they do, don't they? Because they have millions of dollars and they get in office. They're rich. All these people are either rich or they get in there and then they get rich because they do all kinds of favors, all kinds of political favors for all their little buddies, and then they make their money that way. Look at Al Gore. Al Gore said he left office, a vice president, left office 8 years as vice president with $500,000, and he had his house. A house so big, you can see it from space, by the way, talking about having a large footprint. So, you know, unbelievable, right, for such an amazing guy like Al Gore, who loves nature, who cares about nature so much. And, you know, he came out with his movie and everything he said in his movie was totally wrong. Now he's got a new movie and said, oh, it's not too late. But you know what? He uses fear and to scare people into making money. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars now. Last time I checked, it was around $300 million, probably more by now. So $300 million from the time that you left office with $500,000. Where do you think he got that money from? Do you think he got that money from doing good business? What does he create? What does he produce? What does he do? You know, I mean, and that's the important part to understand, is that these people use you. That's it. They spend their time using you. They spend their time using people as pawns, and then they just push them aside when they don't need them anymore. They go out there into the world and they tell you that you should be ashamed for wanting security for your country. You should be ashamed for wanting a good job so you can support your family. You should be ashamed for wanting a good education system so your kids actually learn something, not just to be some button pusher, some robot. But your kids actually learn something so they could be something someday and be an independent thinker and not have to just go along with who says what, right? So John McCain, you know what? I don't like him as a politician. I never liked him as a politician. I think that the things that he's been doing, especially turning on his own party and then turning on Trump for no reason. The only reason is personal, because of the election, and then Trump, you know, mocking him so they called John McCain a war hero. And basically, he got shot down the first time he went out. And then he was in a concentration camp, you know, some kind of a camp for like 5 years, where he was the liaison between the people in the camp and the soldiers. So, you know, he got his perks. And he said that he lived with the man and he'd take his perks. His father was an admiral. You know damn well he got some perks. But, yeah, that's rough. If you're going to go into one of those camps, that's a horrible way to be. And when I call the guy a war hero, I would call him a soldier. You know what I mean? To me, you know what? I got a friend who's a hero, this guy, right? This dude was in Vietnam. And then he had his platoon was, you know, they're being fired upon by a machine gun nest. This dude by himself, he himself picked up his M16, ran at the machine gun nest, got shot while doing it, and he killed every person in that nest. And when he ran out of bullets, he bayoneted them. You know what I mean? That's a freaking hero. That's somebody who actually saved a whole bunch of people's lives. Did John McCain save anybody's lives? No. So, is he a hero? It's, you know what? It's subjective. What the hell you consider a hero, right? You know what I mean? But he was a soldier and he was a veteran. I thank him for his service. You know, it's that simple. But should he be going after Trump because of personal reasons? No. And then we get that a lot in politics, and he needs to represent people properly. But now, with brain cancer, he needs to step down. You know what I mean? He needs to step down, and when he's going through his treatment, it's heavy duty. It's just not going to be, oh, I'm going to go for treatment and be better. You know, brain cancer is some serious, serious stuff. And they said that his form of brain cancer is aggressive. So that just means it's pretty much it for him, you know. 80 years old, I mean, he lived a long life and a privileged life at that. He has millions of dollars. He has the McCain Foundation. You know, all of them do. All of them have that when they take in millions of bucks and they use that money for their own personal stuff. You know, the government says if you have a 501c3, which means you're a nonprofit organization, you only have to give 2% of the money you take in to the charity. You know who came up with those rules? People in Congress. You know who has all these foundations? People in Congress. So you know what? When you look at the United Way, who gives a 4% to charity, they take 96% of the money and sticking it in their pockets for administration fees, paying people, whatever the hell they got to do. But when you look at the Children's Dream Factory, they take 90% of the money and they give it to the kids, and 10% is used for, you know, for paper pushing and whatever you need to do. So when you support somebody and you support some agency or something like that, or if it's a Hillary Clinton, you know, the Clinton Foundation or the Obama Foundation, these foundations have to do with a lot of dark money that are fueling a lot of these so-called liberals who are not liberals. They're just hired thugs so they can go around and start trouble and hit cops in the head with rocks and throw firebombs and do terrible things. So this is my problem with these politicians, because they have gotten way too personal. And yeah, you know what? Trump shouldn't have said that about McCain. He shouldn't have said that about him. You know, he should have had more dignity than to speak out against a guy like that who was in one of those camps for so long. But you know, Trump's not the kind of guy who watches what he says. He's not the kind of guy who is going to sit there and bite his tongue. And if you attack him, he will attack you back, and you can't be surprised. You just can't be surprised, you know. But people are. People think that if you're in a public eye, they can beat on you and they can say all kinds of terrible things to you or about you. And then when you see them, they don't expect you to answer back. You know what I mean? But I mean, if you talk trash about me and I see you, I'm going to let you know. Let you know what I think about you. And then you'll be shocked, because I'm pretty good with my words. And so is Trump. And that's what they get. These guys, he pushes their buttons, man. And they get pissed off. You know, look at George Bush Jr. He's pissed off about 9/11. But Trump wasn't wrong about George Bush Jr. He wasn't wrong about John McCain. But there's some stuff you should say, some stuff you shouldn't say. If it was me, you know, when Obama got in there, when he was running, he said he was going to hold people accountable for 9/11, that there's a lot of things that went on that shouldn't have went on. And then when he got in, he did nothing. It was off the table. And I was like, wow. I was devastated, because I voted for him just for that reason. So he goes in there and then looks back, because there was a lot of lies with George Bush Jr. and Dick Cheney, a lot of terrible things that happened. 9/11 should have never have happened, should have never had happened. And I know how the intelligence agencies work in this country. 9/11 should have never happened, but it did. Because people look the other way. And why they look the other way is what you need to find out. So Trump was right about Bush, that 9/11 was his fault, because he was the one in command and it happened under him. I like that thinking, because that's, you know what? If you're the king, anything that happens under your kingdom is your fault, is your problem that you have to know. You know, you can't just throw responsibility to the wind like Chris Christie and say, well, blah, 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 I'm not responsible, and have other people take the axe for you. You know, I like that thinking of Trump. And when Trump bent down to pick up that Marine's hat, that was an honest action from somebody who is a courteous person. I like that. It wasn't just some stinking photo opportunity. I like that, you know? So when John McCain was all spouting his trash, that, you know, there's something called karma, man, you know? And then when you're out there demoralizing the country and attacking, going on CNN and then attacking Trump supporters and Trump, you know, what kind of person is he really? And what has John McCain ever done for anyone? Any of them? What have they done? You know, I mean, what good have they done for society? right? Tell him, you know, show me. I mean, I had this conversation last week with somebody about Elizabeth Warren, you know. Oh, I like Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, but why? What has she ever done? You know, I want to know. I looked it up. She said nothing. You know, nothing. Nada, nada, nothing. You know what? She lives in a $7 million house in Massachusetts. She's a wealthy white woman making a lot of money off of people and their suffering and their anger and the whole bit. So that's what Elizabeth Warren. And she also lied twice that we know of to get a job saying she was Native American when she's not even close. 1/38th Native American. I think that probably everybody is 1/38th. You know, I think everybody on the planet can say that they're Native American at that rate. But she took jobs from Native Americans or from people of color, and, well, you know, whoever they were looking to hire for those jobs in the affirmative action world, right? She took those high paying jobs. She had no problem doing that. She had no problem living in a multi-million dollar house and being wealthy while everybody else is suffering. So if she's not having problems paying her light bill, if she's not having problems like, you know, damn, I only have this amount of money for food this week and I have to live within these means. And then, you know, oh, man, I need clothes too for work and that type. I need gas for my car. Oh, man, my car just broke down. I need to fix it. That's going to be $1,000. Oh, you know, I got this problem too. My kids need braces and the insurance doesn't cover it. You know what I mean? What am I going to do? And you know what? There are real problems that people have that somebody like Elizabeth Warren will never understand. And you may talk to her. She may look at you. She may nod her head, but she is not listening to you. And the same for the rest of them. They're just shaking hands, kissing babies, and nodding their head, trying to get your vote. It's a game. You know, that's a game they're playing. They want to play a game with your life. And that's what they do. And then it comes down to you living your life. So why do we have elected representatives? Why do we have people represent us? To make our lives easier, to make taxes cheaper, lower, not more expensive, you know, not, certainly not to the point where people can't afford to live in nice neighborhoods. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's their whole deal. They'll say, you need affordable housing. But then they'll say, well, we're going to lower taxes in these neighborhoods so people can afford to move in there. You know, if your taxes are 13 grand a year for a nice neighborhood like in New York, that and that's kind of a median price. 13 grand a year, you know, maybe 7, 8, 9 in a rural area. 13 grand a year for your taxes. That's over $1,000 a month that you have to give the United States government just to live on that plot of land that you bought. $1,000 a month. Don't you think that's extravagant? And don't you think that you can use that money? What if it was cut in half? Would still be obscene. Would still be at $6,500 a year or $7,000 a year. You know what? You would still have that extra money to use on your family, your kids, to live your life a little better, spend a little more at local restaurants and drive the local economy and do something. That money means a lot to people, not the government. They're going to take that money and they're going to do things that you don't even want to know what they do with it. You don't even want to know. So, I mean, look at the train crisis going on in New York City. This is like a real deal because people are late for work, not just like 4 or 5 people. I'm talking about tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. You know, people take mass transit. 8 million people live in New York City. People take mass transit. They don't have cars for the most part. So when the trains break down, if one train breaks down, it'll throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing. And all the other trains are going to have to get messed up, you know, especially if one train is blocking other trains. So last week there was a trash fire on the tracks, right? And it took them an hour and a half to put it out. You know, we're on 145th Street. And the bottom line is that outages, power outages, you know, the accident that happened a couple weeks ago when someone left a rail down, a rail on the tracks. And then when the train came by, skewered it, the rail went through the car and it hurt people, right? So all of these things should never be should not be happening at all. Why are they happening? Because you have two monkeys in charge. You have de Blasio, New York City mayor, and then you have Cuomo, the governor of New York. And both of them, not one of them, have an answer for what's going on. But I'm going to tell you what's going on. Cuomo defunded the MTA by $3 billion a year. $3 billion a year. And when you do something like that, eventually it's going to trickle down to mishaps outages, fires, stuff, whatever, because you're not going to have the manpower. You're not going to have better equipment. The equipment's breaking down. Trains are breaking down. You know, when people break down, let me tell you, it's hot down there in the subway, man. And when people break down, it's at least 90, 95 degrees down there, you know, for various reasons, mainly because you have all these heavy-duty transformers, right, that are just pumping tons of electricity. But it's hot down there, nonetheless. In a train car with no air conditioning, no lights, with a whole bunch of people, you know, and then it you're ready to pass out. You can't even open the doors, and then it's still hot out in the tunnel. So what's the answer? The answer is you need effective leadership. We have ineffective leadership in New York City, and we have ineffective leadership in this state of New York. But the reality is, where are they going to go? You know, who the hell wants to be mayor of New York anyway? Who the hell wants to be governor of New York State? There are people throwing their hat in the ring, and Cuomo's got something to look out for. But, you know, it's hard to get them out. It's really because once they're in and they're so corrupt and they can kind of twist and turn and bend the rules into their favor, it's like a cockroach infestation, man. It's very difficult to stop that sort of thing. But people are angry, and people in New York are angry, and they're angry at the mayor, and they're angry at the governor. They're angry at the MTA. All of this is going on. Not one of them. You know what Cuomo's answer was? To ask people out there for answers. You know, we'll take any ideas off of anybody. You know what I mean? I sent him an idea. I said, jump off the Empire State Building. You know, he didn't do it. So you know what I mean? I tried to be a little helpful, you know, but it didn't work, man. And the reality is that Cuomo is such an egomaniac, egotistical. So is de Blasio. You know, de Blasio went to G20 to protest against capitalism. Do you really think that he cares about those people who are late for work? Do you really think he is not late for work? He has a motorcade. He's got helicopters. He's got all kinds of stuff to get around. He has no problem. It's the people who just the regular old people trying to get to work or whatever the hell they're trying to get home from work to work. And then those trains aren't running. And the same thing for Long Island. You know, those trains are breaking down. There was fires and whatever. And they're fixing the line. They're doing all this. Wow. And then it just hurts the regular old people. These guys could care less who they hurt, you know, and they laugh all the way to the bank. It doesn't matter to them. Are they saying, oh, I'm sorry, you know? Or no, Cuomo, oh, I'll take any ideas. You know, okay, resign and confess. Resign and then go to the FBI and confess all your crimes, because I know that Cuomo's got tons of them. You know, when Cuomo was attorney general for New York State, when it came down to him prosecuting people, every lawyer in town will tell you that if you want to beat the prosecution, you have to give him a huge campaign donation, and then that'll arrange a sit down. So you give Cuomo 50 grand, you know, you have some big case going on and you have a client who's worth millions of dollars. The Wall Street guys, he was notorious going after these Wall Street guys, but then he would let them go. They would plea bargain things down to nothing and he let them go because they would give him these big $50,000 and $100,000 campaign donations. That's pay to play. That's bribery. And then nobody called him out on it. And it was blatant right in front of your face. He's doing this. So now you got the guy as governor. And then the governor at the time, the governor that he worked under, was busted having sex with prostitutes, right? So how many people did the guy even prosecute? How many people did he prosecute in the prostitutes? Think about that. I don't know. Too much corruption, man. And even if we wiped out half of the corruption, we'd be so much better off than we are now. And you have these people just making decisions for regular old people. They do not know how we live. They don't even have a clue. And they don't want to have a clue, you know?
Hello?
Am I? What happened? Maybe I kicked?
The computer shut down on me, man. Went to restart, so I don't know what happened.
Well, you should be back yet. Hold on, let me make sure. Hell, they're probably listening to both of us at the moment. Let me make sure. I'm talking with somebody else on the phone. Thank God I can't hear her. Let's see. Let's see. Okay, you back, baby. You're good. Let me shut up and you can go back. Yeah, you still got 20 minutes, man. Yeah, you back, man.
All right, cool. So, computer shut down on me, computer problem then, but I'm back. So, in talking about these corrupt politicians and talking about people like Cuomo and, you know, anybody, man, and Hillary Clinton, and not just them, you know, there's tons of Republicans too. They all play the game. And the problem is that they're not playing the game for us. They're playing the game for themselves. They're playing the game for their own bank account. And that hurts the American people. So, you know, unproductive Congress, if they're not going to do anything, even Trump called them out and said, you should cancel your summer session to leave, you know, just cancel their leave and get the work done, you know, get the work done on these things. So you're looking at the tax cuts, they're not going to happen. The domestic production, nothing going on there. The infrastructure spending, it's not happening right now. The middle class tax cuts, it's not happening. So all of these things, including healthcare, and it's right at the center. It's the centerpiece, you know, of everybody's what their concerns are. There is no answer, and people want answers. And Obamacare wasn't an answer to begin with, so they either have to tweak it, fix it, or get rid of it and then replace it. But how do you do that in a day? And you know, this country's had no real health care except for dealing with insurance companies all these years. How do you do that in a day? You know, that's the big question. And it's a hard question because it takes a long time to formulate these things. It takes a long time to understand what people need, you know, and everybody's needs are different. So you can't just have, you know, one rule for everybody. So it really has to come down to, you know, I believe in a single payer, but I believe in a higher level of single payer. I believe in a super fund for healthcare. And I've been pushing that for years. It's the best answer, easiest answer, the cheapest answer for people. And everybody gets healthcare that they want. There's no insurance companies in the way, so nobody can deny you from going to a doctor. You just get your stuff done, and then you look for people who are abusing the system. So pretty simple, right? But no, it's not simple because you have all these insurance companies. If you think those insurance companies don't have high-dollar lobbyists that are in there buying and selling you every day, you don't know your government. And one of the biggest problems is that corporate money that's involved in our system. We need to get rid of that corporate money, you know, and they're not going to do it because they'll be cutting their own throats. If you think these politicians have any want, need, nor desire to get rid of corporate money, sure, they're not going to do it because they're not in there to represent you and I. They're in there representing themselves. So look at California, right? California, a big time polluter. 8 of the 10 most polluted cities in the United States are in California. California now has a huge problem with their drinking water with this the substance called 123 TCP. And then Dow Chemical and Shell Oil took the stuff. It's a degreaser for plastics. So they took the waste water of it or the waste part of it, and then they merged it with pesticides, and then they sprayed it into fields. And now people are drinking this stuff, and it's unbelievably toxic, and only a little tiny bit in your water will give you cancer. So California has all these problems, but at the same time, they want to leave the union and they hate Trump and they do all these things. You know, now they have wildfires that are out of control. So what is it with California? What is it? What do we have to do to get them to realize that they need us more than we need them, if it's an us and them thing? So, but they're still talking about trying to leave our, you know, our union, basically, leave the country. It just shows you how crazy crazy they are. It sounds crazy, right? So I like talking about the good things when I talk about what's going on now in the economy. When you look aside from Congress, aside from all the stuff that they're not doing or trying to do, we have a big bump in tourism. There are more hotels booked now in the U.S. than ever. People are coming in and spending their money. Our manufacturing is up. It's on good footing all across the board. Orders are up. The you know, receipts paid are up. So people are making money, and then jobs are up. People are going back to work. You know, people are you know, in Congress, they're not responsible for this. You know, and basically this is like Trump, and not even him, more like what he represents. And I think that if you have a good head on your representation, then people will revere that, you know. And when Obama, he was weaker than baby poop. And then people knew that he was all about regulations, right? All about, hey, we have to regulate this and regulate that. Meanwhile, your drinking water was good before. Your land was good. You were safe before Obama was in there. There was nothing that he had to add. He added these things to add jobs to the federal payroll, because he thought that that's how he was going to create jobs, is in the government, making you pay more bureaucrats to do their job, to do the job for you. But unfortunately, that ran us into the ground, and it wasn't a good scheme. You know, or no, go after the top 1% of the people out there and make them pay tax-wise. Yeah, and then you can't do that either, because that wouldn't have even paid for a quarter of Obamacare. All the studies had been done. But did he say that? Did he make mention of that? Did he say that Obamacare was going to fail miserably? You know, no, of course not. So basically, this guy was living in a fantasy land. And then, unfortunately, that fantasy land we all paid for. You know, yeah, he was partying. He had parties at the White House 2 times a week, sometimes 3 times a week. He had Paul McCartney come in and sing to him and his wife, where he was sitting there in this tuxedo and champagne. His wife was wearing a $30,000 dress. Does that sound like people who represent workers? Does that sound like people who represent the regular old people here in the world that, you know, or in our country anyway, that we need that representation? You know, oh no, you know, no, they put it off as a PBS special of promoting the arts. Promoting the arts? Paul McCartney? Do you need to promote Paul McCartney? You know, how about promoting bands who are trying to get there? How about promoting artists that are trying hard to get somewhere? Oh, they can't do that, because they didn't want to do that. They wanted to have Paul McCartney come in. They wanted to have him sing to them. So, yeah, you know what? Enough of that. And I think all that stuff is worth nothing. It was worth millions to us, because every time they had a party, that was $2 or $3 million. 8 White House chefs making all that food for, you know, for 400, 500 people, all these Hollywood A-listers, all these big money people that Obama would have come in. Really? And they represent who? Me and you? How does that, how does having Tom Hanks to the White House help me in my daily life, or help you in your daily life? It doesn't. How does having George Clooney to the White House help you in your daily life? How does it help you with your life, your liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? It doesn't. So the only thing to do is partying on your dime, and then you're paying for it. You can't even go there and enjoy it yourself. Oh, you can watch it on PBS if you want to watch these robber barons sitting there drink their champagne and toast you. You know, really? So that's where we're at, and I think that in time, people are going to look back in history and wonder what the hell people were doing, and how we allowed such scandalous people to get into politics, into the White House even, and represent us to the point where we have no power or control over any one of them. But yet they do want our vote. And then if they want the vote, we do have some kind of power and control. That's why Trump is this amazing beast, because he got in when no one thought he was going to get in. Joe Montalvo, Joe was the only one who said that Trump was going to get in. You know what? I didn't think he was going to get in. Nobody really did. But people were pissed or angry, they're losing their jobs. And then Hillary didn't connect with the voters. In fact, she came off as an arrogant liar, cheater, thief. Nobody wants that as president. So, yeah. Trump's a monster, sure. He's a prize pig, sure. He's a lot of things personally. I don't care. I care how he's running the government. I care how he's running his presidency. And then it's bothering me that these people are going after him for no reason. If there's a reason, do it, you know? But if you're Robert Mueller And you say, well, I have to find this needle in the haystack, so I'm going to dismantle the whole haystack. That's not the way to do it, you know? Not the way to do it. So I really think that Robert Mueller needs to go. He's too close. He should have never taken a job. He should recuse himself. You can't have someone in an investigation that's too close, especially if somebody with such a political agenda as he has. It's a big problem, you know? But he's beyond the original scope of the investigation. And that scope of the investigation is Russian meddling in the election and also the whole thing with the email. Sure, look into that. Find out where they went. You know, I have a sneaking suspicion he'll end up finding Seth Rich's killer, which he probably doesn't want it to. So, and then as for Jeff Sessions, he says he's not going to resign. Famous last words. Famous last words. You know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to resign. All that. Really? Do you believe that? Or do you believe that Jeff Sessions will be gone by next week? And it's not resign. It's more like you're fired. And Trump loves to fire people. But yeah, Trump said himself a few days ago that if he knew that Jeff Sessions was going to recuse himself, he would have never hired him for attorney general. And now Trump is upset because this investigation is flowing over into all these other areas. But you know what? He led him down the path. And when all the people said Sessions was a bad idea, he didn't listen, right? Same for Steve Bannon. There's no doubt in my mind that Bannon is the one responsible for the leaks in the White House, either Bannon or his people. You know what? He headed off Breitbart. They are all about receiving leaks, getting leaks, printing leaks, and doing all that. This guy orchestrated all of that. Now he's in the position of power. He's sitting in meetings. He can't help himself. He can't freaking help himself than to run and release these leaks or have someone close to him do it. You get rid of Bannon, you get rid of his people, you get rid of a lot of the leaks. I'm sure there's other people in the White House that's doing the same thing, but not to the extent that we've seen, especially these meetings. You know, a lot of the leaks came out of meetings that only had four people, and he was one of them, and Trump was another one of them, and Pence was another one of them. So if you can trust everybody in the room, the one guy you can't trust so much is the one you need to be looking at. So I don't know. We're going to see what happens there. And I'd like to see some heads roll because it undermines the whole country. It undermines the administration, you know? And then of course you got idiots like Rosie O'Donnell coming out with a video game that kills President Trump and pushes him off a cliff. You know, it's just, all this stuff is crap. It's ugly. It's crap. It's useless. It's worthless, you know. And then I think that there's a lot more out there that we need to focus on, like going forward, you know, like going forward. But as for that, I don't know. It's a mess. And then O.J. Simpson's back on the street. I wonder who's going to kill this time. You know what I mean? The guy's a psychopath. If you watch any part of his parole hearing, he was kind of doing all weird stuff and saying weird stuff and saying that he avoids he didn't have much conflict in his life. And man, oh man, this guy's got a huge rap sheet of conflict. So there's that. Sean Spicer resigned and he's all mad. Now there's bad blood and he's going to go on Fox and trash Trump, I'm sure. And then, you know, and they hired Anthony Scaramucci, who is a New York financier, who is a friend of Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump. Trump calls him the Italian kid. So, since I'm Italian, should I take offense to that? Say, that's prejudice. Oh, you know, get all pissed off about that. So anyway, and this week, Trump axed 860 of those Obama regulations, 179 of which were secret. There were secret regulations that they didn't want the people to know about because Obama said that in the 2012 election, he could have lost. It could have hurt him. So that's something that you have to think about. The most transparent presidency was the opposite, the exact opposite, because he did a lot of bad things, you know, and hurt a lot of people and then got in the way of all these. So I don't know, these 860 regulations were worth over $30 billion a year to taxpayers and corporations. So think about that and what you could use. Think about if you had $10 billion. As taxpayers, what you could do with it for the American people, you know? Or how about you just put it back in people's pockets where it belongs so you're not spending all their money? Anyway, I'm going to go. This is Michael Angley on Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Pascagoula, saying adios.